Hello,
Hello and welcome back to Gareth.
Bidan.
We're going to jump straight into it. You're going to be setting the agenda today because I know there were a few things that you wanted to talk about, and anything that you want to talk about that you haven't, you're not quite up to speed on, I will plug the gaps. So shoot.
Oh, right, obviously, first and foremost, the administration of Bolt Wanderers. We've gone from six successful bidders down to five. One got kicked out today. And apparently we're going to have a decision by this Friday. So hopefully we'll have a new owner in place come Saturday morning, and then we can skyrocket up the leagues, leading to European domination, kicking the likes of United, Chelsea and Liverpool to one side as a 45-year-old Kevin Nolan lifts the European Cup.
Well, hopefully they will all be of fit and proper status. And yeah, it'd be great if if you guys finally get sorted and put the nightmare of Sir Ken Anderson behind you.
I'll say to the general populace that listens to this podcast, like I've said to you many a time, I don't mind if my football team is bad, but it should always be in the position to be bad on the pitch. It should never be, and any other football club should never be in the position whereby they're being robbed of their very existence because of the financial dealings of one person or one consortium of people. You know, Leyton Orient went through this. Coventry City, I feel so desperately sorry for their football fans. They've got nothing but the club name left. And CISU are continually messing them about. They're suing Coventry County Council. They're trying to sue absolutely everyone. They need to step away from a rich football club and give it back to the fans, because that's the whole point in the whole game. And it disappears when money dictates. What do you want to say?
Well, obviously there was do you want to get you thinking about the kits, by the way, the leaked kits before
Oh yeah, so look, obviously kits get leaked 24/7. Bolt Wanderers haven't even had one designed yet. But for those fortuitous enough to have seen the leaked Arsenal kit about 8 or 9 days back, so their kit sponsor is now Adidas. And they've gone proper retro. They've got, do you remember their kind of,
I've seen it. I've seen the kits. Yeah, they're like proper 80s, aren't they?
no, they're 93, 90, sorry. The home kit is late 80s. The away kit is, do you remember the yellow kind of yellow and blue lightning bolts across the kit with JV? Yeah, that's their away kit. It's inspired
I'm
by that.
sure. I'm sure the away kit was yellow and black.
Well, the yellow and black, yellow and navy. I think it's a navy blue, to be honest. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a navy blue. Maybe we can put it up when the podcast
So
goes up.
I saw a pic of Lacazette and somebody else. I can't remember who it was. The other guy, Lacazette's in the traditional Arsenal shirt, tight late 80s.
It's lovely that with the Adidas trim down.
It's very good. Well,
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful kit.
a good friend of ours, Richie C, says he thinks it's
Yes.
the best kit the Premier League's ever seen. And I countered with, I think that Manchester United in 93, 94 had the best home, away, and third kit combo you're ever likely to see.
Can I guess that? That's the one with the string at the top of the chest.
Yes.
So that's the red one. That's obviously the green and gold.
Green and
And then,
gold third.
yeah, so was the second kit, was that the blue one that was
No.
almost like a camouflage effect?
No, that was the season before. This was the black one with Sharp View Cam on it,
Ah, of course it was. Of course it was. Yes, I remember.
which I had, but it got thrown away in the house move
Oh, don't. My first ever Bolton shirt got thrown away, I suspect by my mum, so I had to buy it on
Oh, man.
bloody eBay.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. But yeah,
How
so
was the Women's World Cup, more to the point?
it was really good, actually. I mean, it was really good to go out there. I mean, obviously, I've been heartened by the news that yesterday I didn't get to see it because I was traveling back from France, but a game that was televised on yesterday on BBC got 6 million. So it just goes to
Yeah,
show.
I think it peaked at 6.2. Fantastic. Like wonderful stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was great to be out there and just to sort of soak it up. I mean, I was out there representing quite a few different bodies, you know. So I did it. I made sure I was carbon neutral for the whole way, because you know, just to on my, you know, I was working with a sustainability group on that, and obviously with it being Pride as well. And for Women's World Cup, I went with a group of LGBTQ supporters just to support that cause as well, and a couple of them were on the larger side. So I'm supporting body positivity as well.
You did well. Obviously, England managed to. I mean, look, we've had a very successful weekend. We finished third in the home nations.
Coming home. Yeah, mate, English sport. I was just saying, we beat Bangladesh in the cricket. India, obviously, I've got allegiances towards India as well. They beat us. We smashed Australia, which is always
great. Pleasure. It doesn't matter who you support. If you're beating Australia, it's always a fantastic feeling, irrespective of what sport it is as well.
Irregardless of the sport. Irregardless. We absolutely battered them, and it was great. So yeah, it was England's women won in the football, England's men won in the cricket, and then also we won another penalty shootout. I think that's like the second one on the bounce, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, fantastic. So
I think we should talk about the League of Nations, as I like to call it. So all in all, good tournament. I think a decent exercise. Obviously, all of Ronaldo's fans are giving it the Barry McGuigan for he's got his hands on another international trophy, whereas Messi is yet to win one with Argentina. I think not too sure about that one, but a very well worth exercise. Thursday, did you watch the game England v Netherlands?
I did not, unfortunately. I was otherwise engaged at a work event.
Well, I mean, it was bad, to be honest with you. Overall, I think that, look, we've got this vision about playing out from the back and all this kind of stuff, which is fine. I think it's good. But I don't think we, you know, I think we showed how it's not going to work.
My concern, can I interject here? There's two things. I was following it where I could in between speaking to my colleagues and whatnot online and trying to stream it where I could. We felt guilty again of not being able to adapt to managing the game of football. So it reminded me of the Croatia semi-final. And we basically lost our legs. And as soon as we lost our legs, Croatia were going to go on and win it. That's exactly what they did. Netherlands did exactly the same on Thursday, from what I've read and understood. Now, this leads on to my second point. If we're not adapting to how our players are or aren't coping with the conditions of the game, a lot of these players, in some instances, are going to essentially be playing 3 years solid football.
Yeah,
they've done their respective football seasons, the World Cup, respective football seasons, home nations, respective football season, Euro 2020. And you just think, as glorious as it is that we get all this football, is Harry Kane, our best striker in a long time, going to get a rest?
Yeah,
genuine question and concern, because we don't have a winter break. You know, he didn't start on Sunday night, did he? Or Sunday afternoon, did he? But still, like I've no doubt that lad's gone on holiday now for what? 2 weeks, I'm assuming. With Tottenham.
The thing is that if you're an Ajax player as well, you've had it even worse, because they started Champions League qualification on July the 25th last year. And they
got January the 1st, 2016.
They're still playing now. Someone was telling me also, like, Alexis Sanchez apparently hasn't had this is the first summer he's had off since 2013.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Well, to be honest, he's had the whole season off, though, hasn't he?
So League of Nations, John Stones looked very... So a lot of the ball was given to John Stones to bring out from the back. He looked very uncomfortable. So did Ross Barkley. They just scuffed a couple of well, John Stones got robbed of the ball by Memphis Depay, who shot, and then Pickford saved it, and then this guy called Quincy Promes comes in. I don't know how he does it, but he just manages to smack the ball wide when there's an open goal. But Kyle Walker has dived in and deflected it into his own net. So that put them 2-1 up. We went 1-0 up, penalty for Marcus Rashford. To be honest with you, Rashford was giving De Ligt the runaround. I think De Ligt was, you know, struggling to contain Rashford. And then Jadon Sancho was also running riot as well. You know, we were playing really well in that first half, but as you say, it was Croatia all over again. We went 1-0 up, didn't get the second whilst on top, and then we invited a lot of pressure. And the Dutch are very good at keeping the ball. They're technically superior to us.
Again, it's weird. It's like a turn about adaptability. Why don't we change tact? And like, dare I say, okay, like everyone wants to play this out from the back, attacking football, young talent, all that. Great, but If you're winning and you can see that the team's creeping back into it, it's not a wonder goal from 45 yards. They're creating more and more chances and the pressure's obviously turning. Why can't we just adapt the way we play the game?
You're 100% right. And also, going back to your playing out from the back point, this happened a lot against Croatia. It happened a lot in the World Cup, was that we try and play out from the back, we'd get pressed, and all the centre-half would do is play it back to Jordan Pickford, who boot it up anyway. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I was just thinking there's no shame in hitting Harry Kane straight away. He's big. He's tall.
I mean, that's mix it up. Every good football team that plays, you know, attractive, free-flowing football, when it comes down to it, in the last 5-10 minutes of a game, hoof it up to the big boys. There's nothing wrong. There's no rule or regulation that says you can't play hoofball. Obviously, it's not a 95 minutes of the game, but do what's effective, and if it gives your team a break, just to get that extra half a yard of pace over the space of 10-15 minutes, do it. Why not do it?
I don't know if I've shared this anecdote. You know, obviously, viewers, don't pull me up on this. You know, viewers can be quite harsh if we get stuff wrong, but I don't know if I've shared this anecdote before, but there was this once a game when Bayern Munich were managed by Pep Guardiola, where Bayern were playing Jurgen Klopp's Dortmund, who were renowned for their pressing. And Guardiola, rather than play the tiki-taka out from the back, what he did was he stuck Xavi Martinez, who's a defender, up front, big lad, and just hit him long to the Dortmund press. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, brings me to my second point, which was demonstrated by our penalty victory or 0-0 draw. By the way, one of the most one-sided 0-0 draws I've seen since United v Arsenal in the 2005 FA Cup final. It was like, but it's just like we couldn't between us, just like none of the players could finish their dinner. Sterling, who, and this is another point we might have to discuss in another episode, I'm just massively sick of that twat. I'm just so sick of the whole furore surrounding him. I just can't stand the sight of him. But anyway, we brought in Trent, right? And if you look at Liverpool, Van Dijk, what he does when he gets the ball is that he either gives it to Robertson or Trent, right? And those two bomb down the wing, right? And if they don't, then they just pass it to Mane and Salah, right? Who are wingers as well. And then they make their way inside and then they score, right? So what we started to do against Switzerland, which I thought we should have done, obviously Trent didn't play against Netherlands, but we started to attack with Trent, and he was whipping the ball in like, you know, like it was missed, you know, would you like a flake with that Mr. Whippy Brass? He was absolutely, and I said to one of my friends on WhatsApp, I said, I bet you before the end of the day, someone's going to stick a poll up on Twitter saying, who's the better cross of Beckham or Trent? And Carragher said, even in the commentary, that David Beckham wasn't putting in as balls as good as Trent, age 20. So I think the Trent is a good outlet for us in the future. I mean, I think who plays left back for us? Chilwell. I don't think Chilwell's as good as an attacker as Trent or as Robertson.
Effective football is football that wins, and you know, I come from the era of Allardyce supposedly playing not good football or winning games. But the point was, he won games. So just adapt and change. you know, if we got through to the bloody final of a major tournament, i.e. Euro 2020 or World Cup 2022, because for the last 10 minutes in the game, we hoofed it and hoped, we'd be over the moon. No one would care. Absolutely no one would care.
Yeah, I think that this was another reason this was a very worthwhile exercise, was that it got us to that, you know, into a tournament situation where people actually cared. And I'm glad that, you know, we've got to start winning these games sooner rather than later. And I think that we had, you know, we got pasted v Croatia after going 1-0 up. We got pasted v Belgium from start to finish. We got pasted v Netherlands going 1-0 up. So hopefully Southgate will have learned some bloody lessons. So when we do come to Euro 2020...
I discussed this at work today with my French colleague, Orman, who's obviously a massive football fan, supports Marseille, lives in Paris, supports Marseille. And, well, it's just because the nature of the industry, his job is based in Marseille, in Paris. Massive, obviously, French national fan. And, you know, he said to me today on G-Chat, look, you know, he as an outsider looking in, he thinks Southgate is learning. And I said, I just hope you're right, because, you know, balls to the golden generation that we watched that got us to 2006 or whatever it was. We've got a generation here that there's no expectation put on them, but we're just enjoying watching them play. And if there's an understanding, look, I'm not suggesting for one second Gareth Southgate is a stubborn old fool that doesn't want to learn, but I just hope that we can learn and we can progress, just so that we can have summers like we had last summer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Really brilliant. Everyone was in such a good mood.
Yeah, they were. They were. I mean, that's why, like, someone asked me once, who do you want to win the Cricket World Cup? And I said England, because I remember what it was like when England won the Rugby World Cup, right? Yeah. And even if you weren't into rugby, you still felt the vibe and you still, you know, went out to the parade and all that kind of stuff.
And when England won the Ashes. So you got 2003 for the Rugby World Cup, you got 2005 for the Ashes.
Yeah, so if England win the I want England to win the Cricket World Cup, because just put everyone in a good mood. And obviously, if we ever won the World Cup, the Football World Cup, then obviously, you know, it's just...
I mean, it would just be...
It would be scenes, bruv.
Exactly.
But yeah, I just think that, you know, we've got the Euro 2020 qualifiers next. Obviously, I've looked into the draw for Euro 2020, and I don't know how... you know, what ground we start at and what ground you end up playing at. But I do know that both semi-finals and the final are at Wembley.
If we get to the semi-final,
we've got to win it. And I think that if Sancho can mature, if we can play with that front line of Kane, Sancho and Sterling, right?
I agree.
Try and get, like, everyone's going to mock this Foden kid from City. Great. Or if it's James Maddison, right? If we can just get a bit of creativity through the middle, right, then I think we'll be all right. And obviously, we've got the two. We'll try and play out from the back, though I don't fancy John Stones. Oh, by the way, I thought Gomez was better than Stones. So hopefully, if Gomez can take the ball and play out from the back, then that will stand us in good stead. But if we, or, you know, but this Trent, you know, this weapon that we have, Trent, he looked decent. Yeah. And if Kane can just get on the end of some of Trent's headers, and I want to see Dele Alli binned out from the team, man. He's awful. He's so rubbish. He's like a Jesse Lingard, but with less movement.
I've always struggled with him, I must admit.
He's just an idiot.
Every now and then, this is completely doesn't impact his ability as a footballer. But, and it's trivial, I put my hands up to that, but it really fucks me off that he never smiles. He never seems to be enjoying. He almost is that grumpy teenager that's on the pitch. He doesn't want to be there. He's got his hands tucked in his sleeves and he's kind of half-hearted running around. And then when something happens, he's annoyed like a grumpy teenager. And then when we score, he's kind of like, okay, fine, we've scored. But look, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
He doesn't
do enough in the game.
Absolute sitter against Switzerland. It was like Trent put it on an absolute sixpence, right? He comes in, like, you know, I bet he probably shouted, "Mine!" And then just absolutely no one near him plants the header just an inch over the bar. And he's just like, mate, you should be ripping out the net with that chance. And I just can't.
Is there maybe a point that he is so used to playing within that Tottenham team under Pochettino that he hasn't got the adaptability to play under someone else's kind of, I don't know. I'm just putting out there because obviously Poch sees something in him and the Spurs fans absolutely adore him. But, and look, obviously he scored some good goals and, you know, plays his part in some good football, but I've never really seen him produce anything for England. So
So as much as I don't like Jesse Lingard, look, I'll always back him as a United player publicly. I don't like him. I don't think his character's right, but he is better internationally than he is as a...
I'd agree with... Yeah, I mean, I've shared my thoughts.
Same with... So there's players that fall to fall apart when they play for England and don't translate their club form. Raheem Sterling is one, right? I think John Stones as well. I think the City players don't tend to take good form, their club form into internationals due to your adaptability, you know, thesis that you've outlined.
Hope is we're both proved wrong.
But the thing is that there's players like Harry Maggs, imperious international level. You know, I look at him in the Premier League sometimes and think, oh God, he's got the turning circle of the QE2. he's built like the proverbial
you're right.
Outdoor toilet facility.
He looks like a bouncer from Lancaster, doesn't he?
Yeah.
When he looks like an England footballer.
And, you know, I think that Dele Alli is someone who I think, you know, at home against Huddersfield or, you know, even the likes of Watford, anyone outside the top six, he'll probably lay on a few chances for Harry Kane, let provide three assists for Harry Kane hat-trick, and Spurs fans will be like,
I'm going to have a look at that for the next podcast. The effectualness, that's not even a word.
Effectual?
Well, that's what I was kind of going with, but then I've merged the two. Anyway, how effective has Dele Alli been in against the top six in the last two seasons by ways of assists, pass completion? Opta Joe's got to be all over this. And then goals scored. I'd love to know that.
Is Opta Joe still going? There used to be a regular Twitter feed, but I don't seem to get it much anymore.
I don't know, mate. I only focus on funny videos and Bolt Monders.
Okay.
We got to wrap this up. I got stuff to get going on with.
Yeah, I need to get to Sainsbury's before it shuts. I've been delaying going because of the weather, but the weather does not look...
I was going to say, you're going to be swimming there. It's like this for the next 12 hours, right?
Well, good job the Sainsbury's only over the road, so I can just put my hood up and just dash across, get some porridge and some bananas and oat milk for my breakfast tomorrow morning, and maybe pick up my lunch for tomorrow morning as well. So
you have lunch in the morning, do you? That's a bit different.
I didn't like that one,
everybody. Right, so what subject matter should we discuss? Let's get this done by 25 minutes. What subject matter should we discuss in the next podcast, which will likely be Wednesday for me, by the way?
Okay. Signings. So
gossip, potential signings.
Yeah, we can talk about United's pursuit of your winger won't like him.
I mean,
Wan-Bissaka.
Discuss, for example, obviously Hazard going to Madrid, and Madrid have been splashing das cash again.
Yeah, well, they're acting like, you know, United say we need to rebuild and blah, blah, blah. You know, 1 month in, we signed some championship player, whereas Madrid have signed, you know, centre-half, forward, a winger, if you call Hazard a winger, yeah, and they're acting like a big club, whereas United are just talking like one. And yeah, we just have to see how to
do that. I think they couldn't order a piss up in a brewer, could they? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's you are, isn't it?
It's the fans clinging on to the fact that they are a big club, but they're gradually disintegrating. I know you're not a fan of him, But did you see Nuruddin's tweet about Manchester United trying to sign people? And it's a person.
Everyone's running away. Yeah, I'm always saying I'm not a fan of his. It's just that there's certain United fans who have been placed onto a pedestal by brands who obviously want to tap into their following, who like get deals with Paddy Power and, you know, all that kind of rubbish and betting firms and just write articles where you just think, well, I don't necessarily agree with that article, and you're just doing it to make yourself look good and you don't represent me as a fan type thing. So that's what I'm my only issue with him. But he seems all right. I mean, I've never met him. I don't know what he's like. But there's a couple of other really annoying fans that I can't, United fans that I can't stand, who are worse than Nuruddin. But hey ho. Anyway, we actually gone 42 seconds over. Well, 20 minutes and 42 seconds over.
I was going to say.
But anyway, to the viewers, to the listeners, I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue. Or I will be more regular in doing the 5-minute gossip, podcasts, which is what led us to, build up the following that we have, that we enjoy, that we're very lucky to enjoy.
But if I can just also offer my apologies for my infrequent nature in partaking in this podcast, but.
No. I think that it's good because, you know, it's good that every once in a while you get a treat, you get your extra, you know, half hour episode, but I think the regular uploads will be the gossip from the BBC. So I need to start doing that a bit more regularly. But you know, we just build that up and obviously phone in as well. A lot of people reacted very, very well to the they enjoyed the phone in. Raj from Wolverhampton obviously provided us some.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I did. I listened to it. I thought he made some very good points. I didn't. He's obviously he's mental, but he's just very representative of a lot of Liverpool fans, I think, just talking absolute garbage. But you know, I put another tweet out for Thingy ever, and a lot of City fans want to come on. So I think that, you know, we can select one of them for the next phone in, which you might have to do it on your own again, to be honest with you, because I'm quite busy. I've said to him as well, I've said to a couple of them if they're around sort of next week, and I'm going to be away, so you might need to handle that one again on your own. I've just had a thought
before we do finally wrap up. You know, we do football in 5 minutes. Should we be like joe.co.uk and do politics in 5 minutes?
Yep, 100%. Let's
just that'd be an absolute disaster. Just turn into a bigger
the beauty of this brand that we have is that we can extend out into loads of different areas, and obviously, evidently, we're not actually bound by the USP that is apparently communicated in the name of the brand, which is in 5 minutes.
We're walking contradiction, but so be it.
Politics in 5 minutes. And anything else you want? YouTube in 5 minutes, obviously.
Branded content in 5 minutes.
Exactly, mate. Okay, so let's just wrap it up there. Thank you for listening, and we will be back on Wednesday if Gareth can still make it. Okay.
Later.
Bye, everybody. Later.